listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The NBA draft lottery last night, it all came down to the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies for the number one selection overall in the draft coming up next month. And it was the New Orleans Pelicans winning the NBA draft lottery last night.
I think that last night proved one of the new NBA assumptions are wrong. That assumption is, hey, LA doesn't matter. New York doesn't matter. Everywhere's the same. They've got TV cameras there. They've got Instagram accounts in Minnesota and Vancouver, even though they don't have a team anymore. In Memphis. Is that a sign you're old if you're thinking the Vancouver Grizzlies, you know? I wonder if they're gonna have trouble at the borderline, you know, with their passports. But the reality is, in the time when they had the top four identified, right, on the TV show, to when they revealed the order, if you would watch the Twitter stream of mine, which I think is a typical sports stream, there was about five times the excitement, both pro and con. No one was really anti-Knicks because how can you really root against a team that bad and feel good about it? It's like, yeah, the Knicks are the Knicks. But I saw 10 or so people say, if the Lakers win, I know it's fixed and I'm done with the NBA. So obviously people care about LA and New York much, much more than they care about Memphis or even Vancouver. Was that just as fans? And Jonas, open question, did you guys feel increased energy in this draft because the Knicks really did have as good a chance as anyone?
Yeah, it was the Knicks. It was also the Zion impact. I mean, when there's a player...
You're saying the prize was bigger.
Yeah, the prize was bigger. Look, I didn't feel this way when Anthony Bennett was the first overall pick in the draft.
He was going to. He was supposed to be six or seven.
I don't even remember. What the order of that draft was, but this one did have some buzz to it because of the Zion factor.
Yeah, that's a good point. But let me ask you this, and I was actually watching Twitter, and I had the sound down on the draft itself. Did they? They went from 4-3 to 2-1. Correct.
Yep.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Memphis that was second, right?
Yep.
So did you feel like, so once the Lakers were revealed at 4 and the Knicks at 3, under your theory, Jonas, hey, the prize is still out there. Who's going to get it? You know, it felt like to me the air went out of everything after the Knicks were revealed at 3.
Yeah.
And that... Right.
Well, yeah, no, and that, to your point, and yes, I would say that because the Knicks were thought to be the team, I mean, there was even a report before the lottery went out yesterday from Sham Sharania, who said if they do land Zion, they're going to try and package him for a deal for Anthony Davis. They didn't even know where they were going to end up, and they were already talking about what they're going to do with Zion when they get him at number one. So there was a letdown from that stance.
So I think conclusion number one, and we do try to take the fans' perspective quickly and succinctly, but we're fans too, and we observe the fans out there, is, yeah, maybe the distance between the small markets and the big markets is decreasing, but especially when there's a pedigree. Lakers got a pedigree. Knicks have a pedigree. We heard Stephen A. yesterday just ranting and raving. I mean, these are people, and I always think a big market team with a pedigree who hasn't won for a long time. Now, this sounds kind of goofy, but as a Steelers fan, they won their last of their first four Super Bowls when I was 10. They didn't win their next Super Bowl until I was 36. Now, the difference, anyone above 36 can tell you from 10 years old to 36 is a long time, right? And when they finally won, as I've explained before, I woke up in an L.A. hotel bathroom with a leather jacket on and no shirt next to the commode. True story. I was that excited. So these Knicks fans haven't won, 73 or early 70s? So the idea, not only it's New York, but this a 50-year-old fan of the Knicks can barely remember their last title. So I think with the Knicks especially, if and when this team gets good, it's going to be unlike anything we've seen in the NBA.
It has. And I think that you're exactly right, RJ, as far as there being, you know, an air left out of the balloon. I thought it was funny. You had the two richest franchises as far as value. Lakers or Knicks are 1 and 2 in the NBA. And the two poorest in the Pelicans and the Grizzlies. So if there's any of that speculation, conspiracy out there, the two poorest franchises in the league, New Orleans and Memphis, got the top two picks. The two richest ones got 3 and 4.
And it's true. It's true. But boy, I wanted the Lakers so bad just because I wanted to see. I'm not quite the Joker. What was his line? I want to, you know, watch it burn or whatever. But I did want to see that reaction. Though 4 is a nice little, you know, asset for the Lakers. No doubt about it. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, recapping the aftermath, both as fans and Vegas guys, of the draft. You know, something I found, a couple things I found interesting. One is, and I didn't get this whole story, so you guys can help me. There's this David, is his name Griffin or Griffith? He was with the Cavs.
Yep, GM.
GM. Do you remember the pronunciation?
David Griffin.
Griffin.
Yep.
And now he's with the Pelicans. So apparently he's won, when he's been involved in the draft, he is 4 out of 5. Now think about this. We could do the math, right? But the best chance you ever have, I think even under the old rules, was less than 20%.
25.
Under the old rules.
Yes.
Okay. So even if he was the best every time, which I know he wasn't that Cleveland year in which they did draft the UNLV guy, is the idea of the odds of 4 out of 5 when you have 25% or less. Literally, if there was a trend we were talking about in tonight's, let's say, East Milwaukee Toronto, that had, this is something that happens on average only 18% of the time, but it happened 4 of the last 5. Could that be a coincidence? I could see us saying that, right, Fez? Be honest.
Maybe Griffin has some ping pong knowledge no one else has.
But it really is instructive to go through life and look at the things that you know are random and think, wow, if this was somehow a trend in sports, would we be spending a lot of time, or ask yourself, would you be spending a lot of time trying to figure out, wow, what is the basis of this? Because it got to be something. And oftentimes, it's not.
It's just like that movie Beautiful Mind, right? Where he finds Russian code in the newspaper that never really exists, but he looks hard enough and he sees it.
But he was insane.
Yes.
Doesn't seem any different than when you look at things, Fez. Are you telling us something? That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, let's shift to the Vegas side of things. Fez, you know, we're proud. Listen, there's other shows that try to do gambling. I think we do a really good job beyond the picks and opinions, which I think are strong. We get the numbers right. Oftentimes, not casting any direct aspersions, just a general net out there. There's guys that don't really know what they're doing. They almost know. Doesn't mean they don't get it right most of the time, but they get it wrong a decent amount of the time. We're 99.9, we're going to get it right because Fez does make a mistake now and again. Let's get the odds. All right, Fez, so here's the question. We were sitting in a certain place 24 hours ago looking at next year's NBA odds. Now we've got new information, the draft order. What has changed?
New Orleans has gone amazingly, RJ, from 300-1 to win the NBA championship down to 25-1. So think about what the 24 hours, what happened. Well, Anthony Davis is almost certainly going to get traded. New Orleans is going to be rebuilding. They have no chance. They're 300-1. Now the narrative is, oh, they're going to get Zion. And because they're getting Zion, maybe they can talk Anthony Davis into staying. It's a little bit of a long shot, but now it's much more plausible.
Here's the question, though, and Anthony Davis reminds me, if he stays, of Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Now, we're going back a little ways. A lot of people forget this. The Spurs tanked This is before there was, leave it to Popovich and crew to kind of be at the foreground of good and bad things, I guess, if it's an advantage. And I don't know if anyone else really remembers this around this table, but the Spurs were a pretty good team. They had David Robinson, the Admiral, but he was out for most of an entire season. And at that point, it really was obvious this team was playing for the future. They weren't trying to scratch out every win, however you want to describe tanking. And they ended up getting Tim Duncan. And literally the history of the NBA was affected by that. Now, what is different than a typical, hey, this team's not so bad, someone got hurt, they tank, get a good draft choice, and now they're great, is both the guys were big guys. Well, boy, it seems to me the idea of a Zion, not that he's, you know, a classic to the back center, but Zion and AD would be, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an X's and O's NBA guy at an expert level. They would have a combination of physicality, size, control of the paint, combined with the agileness or agility to play the modern game. We would have never seen. They would be two of maybe seven or eight guys in the entire league that could protect the rim and go out and guard a three. Do we agree with that?
We do agree, and it gives the team, if Davis stays, a tremendous amount of flexibility, because think about what a beast Zion is. He would be the second heaviest player in the NBA right now. So defensively, you could put Zion on the big center of your opponent, and that would free Anthony Davis up to be much more flexible defensively as well.
Yeah, so to me, if you were a, and this will be our last thought on this, is if you were a Pelicans fan, you could think, well, wait a minute, we got Zion. Thumbs up. We got AD, or we're going to get something relatively commensurate with AD, meaning a fair trade. But I think keeping AD would be so much better, even if you got back the exact value of AD, where if you said, all right, what is the value above replacement? And you got three players that added up to the same as Anthony Davis, you would say fair trade. But then the Pelicans would have a normal team, maybe a pretty decent team, but a normal team. If they could figure out how to make it work with Anthony Davis and Zion, they would have a team unlike any team we've ever seen in this modern era. And boy, that to me, the quirkiness of that would be especially appealing. What do you think, Brad?
Well, I think, and you, on top of that, you got a good point guard in Drew Holiday. You got a 20 points per game score in Julius Randle. Yeah,
but those are guys those are interchangeable.
Yeah, but what my point is, I think you're clearly going to have a top three or four starting five in the entire NBA. So moving from 300 to 1 to 25 to 1 makes.
Yep. And you got to wonder, someone has to go to Anthony Davis and say, what is your problem with New Orleans? If it's, I want to be in LA, I want to be somewhere big, you can't solve that. But if it's any other problem, if it's the owners, if it's the GM, if I'm the owners, because they're the football owners anyway. They don't even, from what I hear, they don't love basketball. If there's ever a time to sell this team, it's going to be Anthony Davis saying, if you sell to this group, I'm staying. Mm. Now the value. Now that's interesting. Anthony Davis saying that, does that increase the value of the Pelicans by $500 million? You got to wonder what the number is if you could be selling the Pelicans with the commitment that if you do, you're going to have the new owners are going to have Anthony Davis and they're going to have
Zion.
I mean, that would be interesting.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, we've been talking about the NBA draft lottery last night. It is the New Orleans Pelicans with the number one pick of the draft, and the consensus assumption is that Zion Williamson is going to be that top player selected, but you actually did some research and found that Zion not only has an impact on the floor, but off it as well.
Yeah, this is something the pregame.com research team really uncovered a diamond, I think, in this one. Now, there's a great line from, there was that Nick Nolte, North Dallas 40 was the name of it. That's a little bit older movie, and it's obviously a different age of the NFL. But it shows where there's the players and there's the owners. And there's a great line that I won't do as well as they would, in which they said, every time I tell you it's a game, you tell me it's a business. And every time I tell you it's a business, you tell me it's a game. Now think about that. Because as a Steelers fan, okay, I want Le'Veon Bell to want to play for the black and gold, you know, back before. And he's going to say, and I'm saying it's a game, play, baby. And he's going to say, no, 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 it's a business, right? And then you can see where it's flipped, right? And it's always from the owner's perspective, typically. They decide when it's a business. Hey, we've got to cut you. We love you, but we got to cut you. And then on the other hand, hey, play for us cheap, hometown discount. You can see they go both directions. It's obviously a game and it's obviously a business, NFL, NBA. Let's look at the business side. We're going to compare Duke, when they played TV games on ESPN. We're going to compare NBA games during that same period. And then we're going to compare non-Duke games. So three categories. Duke and Zion last year. NCAA games without Duke. NBA games. What were the ratings in the three categories? The number one of all three of those was Duke with Zion. They averaged 2.2 million viewers. NBA games during that February, this is the February period, 2 million. So Zion and Duke first, 2.2, NBA second at 2. Now, I think we all agree NBA games usually have more interest than college games. Yep. So, wow. Well, here's the real wow. All the college games that didn't have Zion, didn't have Duke in February, 760,000. 2.2 million Duke, 2 million the NBA, 760,000 ESPN without Zion. So literally, Duke a little better than the NBA with Zion. And three times as many for Duke and Zion. Now listen, let's be honest. Jonas, if I would have asked you to guess, you know, how much more viewership Duke and Zion got against any other. I mean, this could be Gonzaga. This could be, you know, Kentucky. Like, these are the blue. You know, it's not like Duke's the only blue blood there is. I get the idea if it's some whack game, or I guess the whack's not around. They're with Vancouver. But the fact of the matter is, I would have thought 50% more, 75, three times.
Yeah, it's not like Duke hasn't had great players before. You know, I mean, they've always churned out great players. They've churned out top draft picks, top five picks the last several years, number one picks before. And this is a guy who played for a team that didn't even go to a Final Four. That's how much of an impact he had.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We continue to take a look back at last night, in which the Golden State Warriors have taken a 1-0 series lead over the Portland Trailblazers, 116-94.
So, Jonas, voice of the fan, you've got the eyes of a fan. What'd you see last night?
It just seemed like Golden State was just better. there was not a lot of buzz in that game. Portland seemed like they kept it close for a little while, but Golden State, ultimately, when Steph Curry gets hot like that, they're just on another level than anybody else.
And we talked about it at length yesterday. And boy, the buzz around what we were sharing on my Twitter account at RJ in Vegas, a lot of feedback with people saying, hey, we had a sense that Steph was doing really well without Durant, but boy, you guys quantified it. They didn't exactly say those words, mostly, but we do put numbers on things. And if you look at it right now, and we'll talk about this before the next game again at length, but it's this simple, is 3 years in the Durant era, when Steph has played and Durant hasn't, the team is so much better, Golden State, when Durant plays and Steph doesn't. And amazingly, so much better when when both play. Now that is a mind blower. And we've got, it's not like it's seven games, you know, 6-1 when Steph plays, and you know, there's 150 games when they both play. We're over we're moving towards 35 games with Steph, without Durant. And they have a better record, Golden State does, than when Durant plays. It doesn't mean Durant's not one of the best players in the league. It means this isn't about accumulating talent in the NBA. It's about a team. And there's something about this Golden State team when they're by themselves, or I guess without Durant, they play with more joy, with more sense of this is the way we're supposed to play. Last question on this, Fez, and then we're getting to tonight's game quickly. You've been worried that over those 3 years when Durant's been out, the Golden State generally before this year was much deeper. Did you see that depth problem? Obviously, Golden State won and covered. What did you think about the depth problem?
The depth was not a problem at all. Golden State played their bench big time last night. 8 bench players scored 3 or more points, a buy sign on the Golden State bench.
Coming up at 8:30 Eastern time on TNT, it is the Raptors and the Bucks, game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, right now on pregame.com. Milwaukee, a 6.5-point favorite.
Okay, the number 1 team, Milwaukee. Number 2 team, Raptors. 6 points means that Toronto is 2 points worse. Bucks are 2 points better because 4 point for home. Milwaukee's home. They'd be 4 if it was even teams. Add 2 more makes 6. If you look at the series, Milwaukee minus 300. Raptors plus 250. So clear favorites for Milwaukee. Fez, talk about the game, talk about the series, whatever you think is the most important.
Yeah, I like Milwaukee. I bet Milwaukee in this game. RJ, the spread is up to -6.5. And I think we have a similar situation in terms of spots. We talked about last night was a bad spot for Portland. This is a bad spot for Toronto. They had that 7-game war against Philly. Now that series got done on Sunday, so they have had a couple days, but Toronto still has to travel. Milwaukee is all rested up. Milwaukee has had a week off, so we get a very rested.
But here's the catch 22. At a certain point with NBA rest, rust becomes an issue.
Exactly right. In Milwaukee.
So are we at that point with Milwaukee?
I don't think so. And here's why. Milwaukee lost game 1 against Boston, and they said, you know what? We didn't practice hard enough. We didn't get ready hard enough. And so that this has been a focus for them during their practices this past week.
And that's interesting. Once you see a team experience something which is a negative, when they have the second crack at that, at least they're going to do something different. I don't know if they're going to have the right answer, but they kind of figured, Milwaukee did, that when they had extended rest, what they did last time wasn't the right answer. So the idea that now they do have the right answer, we're not sure, but we know they're going to do something different. I do find it interesting that yesterday it was Portland with 1 less day's rest and a more difficult travel because it was road. Toronto was home, that now Toronto has 1 extra day and they're going from home, but somehow the key to your handicap is fatigue, but it wasn't yesterday.
Well, I also don't trust the Toronto bench at all. Only 1 Toronto bench player scored in game 7 against Philly.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.